There's this popular quote that I found this week by Ralph Waldo Emerson. It's a good reminder for those who have become so focused on reaching a particular goal that nothing else really matters anymore. It's all about the goal. And this quote is helpful for people in that situation. It goes like this: life is a journey, not a destination. Okay? Life is a journey, not a destination. Maybe you've seen or heard that quote. It's a quote that helps people see there's value in the journey and kind of in the details and every day of this life, not just that goal that they're aiming for. There's also a slogan. There's probably all kinds of different slogans that come out of that quote. Here's one of the slogans, which is this: focus on the journey, not the destination. Because if life is a journey and not a destination, you should focus on the journey, not the destination. And if you think about different things in life, it seems like that's actually pretty good advice. I was thinking of a few areas. Education, that's probably pretty good advice. When I was in high school and college, I was thinking about my college years. I treated education just like it was basically a stepping stone, a means to an end. And I just wanted to get to the destination, which was a college degree. And so I didn't really embrace the journey of education. I think I embraced the social aspect of college, but not really necessarily the education and try to learn as much as I could. I know I did what I had to do to get a good grade, and then I just moved on. So it was a means to an end, and I learned a lot of things for a short period of time and then forgot a lot of things over the long haul. In that case, it would have been really good if I would have told myself, focus on the journey, not the destination. So education. Work is another thing, okay? You're a career or a job. Most people end up working for 40 or 50 years of their lives, a long period of time of working. And I've known people who have worked just to make money. Like, that was their goal. They're going to make money, make as much money as they can, and they choose their line of work based on that rather than what they really enjoy. And oftentimes, that doesn't go very well. Oftentimes, people end up basically enduring 40 hours a week and living for the weekend or the weeknights when they can get done with the work and move on to what they actually enjoy, and so they hate their jobs. And it would be better in their case to look for a job that's fulfilling and enjoyable, even if it's less pay. So I was thinking of Brad Markwin. I don't know if he's here this morning, but I've heard him say this a number of times: if you love what you do, you'll never have to work a day in your life. Have you heard him say that? If you love what you do, you'll never have to work a day in your life. So again, when it comes to work, it's a good idea to focus on the journey, not the destination of retirement or the weekend. Focus on the journey. Parenting is another area. So one of the most common things I hear older parents say to me at this stage of our parenting journey, because I must often comment about how busy it is, and then older parents will say, oh, it goes so fast. It goes so fast. Enjoy it while it lasts, because it goes really fast. And I can definitely see what they're talking about. Time is like in fast forward with our kids. The problem is that where we're at with parenting, it's super busy right now. And it's hard to enjoy because there's so much going on that it's just exhausting. And what I find out about myself is I'm looking forward to, like, bedtime. I'm looking forward to the end of the week or the end of a sports season so that I'll finally get a break. And so I need to keep reminding myself, focus on the journey, not the destination. Focus on the journey, not the destination. Because at one point, the destination's gonna mean saying goodbye to the kids and watching them go to college, and that's gonna be hard. Enjoy the journey, not the destination. So you can see in a lot of areas of our lives, that's a really good advice, really good idea. But what do you do when it comes to religion? Okay, that's what I want to shift to now. What do you do when it comes to religion? What happens if religion becomes all about the journey and not the destination? There have been a lot of Christians who have gone down that road And this morning I want to see what happens if you do. It's something that isn't good, actually. It's something that we need to watch out for in our lives. So it's different than these other things when it comes to religion. And what we're going to be doing this morning is we're going to be looking at five short stories that come next in our study in the book of Luke. They're in chapters 5 and 6. They're in between what we looked at last week and the Sermon on the Mount, or Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. There's these five short stories, and all of them have something in common in that they involve a group of religious leaders who became so focused on the journey of religion that they lost sight of the destination, and we're going to see what that did to their religion. The first story is in Luke 5, so you can turn there, starting at verse 17. And where we're picking up here, Jesus is continuing his ministry in Galilee. So this is kind of his first major season of ministry in this region of Galilee. We saw last week how he got busy right away. Huge crowds were following him. He would often go to desolate places to pray and connect with his Heavenly Father. He's continuing that busy schedule. Crowds are coming to hear him preach, to be blessed by his healing ministry, maybe have demons cast out. And here's five stories now of what happened during that time. The first is Luke 5, 17 through 26. Here we go. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, so those are the religious leaders, were sitting there who had come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And this is the first time really you see that these religious leaders are kind of descending upon Jesus to see what's going on. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. I mean, it would have been awesome to be there and see that. Verse 26, amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." I don't know that the Pharisees and scribes joined in on that excitement. I'm pretty sure they didn't, or at least most of them didn't, but the rest of the people were amazed at what just happened. I want to focus on the interactions between the scribes and Pharisees and Jesus. And you can see that after Jesus told this paralyzed man that his sins were forgiven, they had a major problem with that, okay? You can't do that. Only God can forgive sins. And so as I try to think about it from their perspective and as I looked at these different stories and thought, where are these guys coming from? I think what bothered them is that they already had a process by which people's sins were forgiven. They already had a process. It was their religion. It was their religious practices. Walking in obedience to the law of Moses. We did a sermon, whole sermon series on the book of Exodus and the receiving of the law of Moses, and that was continuing now for centuries up to this point. And that was the system. That was their religion. They had to abide by that system in order for them to be righteous before God, for their sins to be forgiven and not be a factor. There were rules to keep. There were steps to follow. There were many sacrifices that they had to offer. That you had to do these religious things in order to be forgiven. And so for them, it was all about the journey. all about the journey. God alone could forgive sins, and the way he did that was by adhering to their religion. He would never give people forgiveness as a free gift through Jesus of Nazareth. Okay? Their religion had become all about the journey, and they lost sight of the destination. They couldn't see that the law of Moses was given to point people to the destination, who was Christ. That was the purpose for the journey and for the laws. It was only through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection that was all foreshadowed in the law and in the sacrifices and all of that, that they could be forgiven, and there was no other way. The journey couldn't save you. Only Jesus of Nazareth could. He was the destination. And the journey was meant to lead them to him, not to become an end in itself. And so on that day when Jesus forgave that man's sins, instead of rejoicing that the man's sins were forgiven, they were infuriated and they accused him of blasphemy. And so you can see that their religion had become empty legalism. It was about following the rules. It was about doing it this way, adhering to these steps, and it was a dead end. So the form was there, but not the heart, and it completely lost its purpose. We're going to see that in these next stories as well. The second one is in Luke 5, now verses 27. We'll go through 32. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi, this is Matthew, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So again, here you see some of the same dynamics. These scribes and Pharisees are having a major problem now with who Jesus was eating with. They were tax collectors and sinners, which means they weren't following the law of Moses. They were not obeying the rules. They weren't doing the sacrifices. They weren't keeping the necessary religious practices. They were outsiders. And because of that, the way they thought, Jesus should have nothing to do with them. Okay? You should avoid them, not associate with them. Get away from them. They're unclean. They're outsiders. Stay away from them. So again here, you see that they were so focused on the journey, the steps you're supposed to follow, that you're supposed to adhere to if you're going to be in the right. They were so focused on that that they completely lost sight of the destination. And Jesus told them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Okay, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so he's saying that Jesus is saying that he was eating with them because he knew that they needed him for salvation. Okay, they needed him for salvation, and they didn't need to go through religious hoops to get to him. They didn't have to go through all that stuff to get to him. They just needed him. So did the scribes and Pharisees. They just needed Jesus. They didn't need all that stuff that they were doing. That was supposed to direct them to Jesus, but that's not what was happening. Jesus was the destination, but they were so fixated on the journey that they couldn't see it. They thought they were already saved because of their adherence to the laws and rules. But rules could never save them. They were only given actually for the purpose of revealing their sinfulness and their unrighteousness. That's what the purpose of the rules was for, so that it would point them to the Messiah and their need for him. And so they totally missed the point. The journey was supposed to lead them to the destination, but because they focused so much on the journey, they had no idea what the destination was. And again, you can see that their religion had become nothing more than empty legalism that in this case excluded sinners rather than reaching out to them. That's what happens when the journey becomes the only focus. The third story is Luke 5, 33 through 35. And they said to him, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." And so here they're bothered that Jesus' disciples, he didn't make his disciples fast like they made their disciples do, and John with his. So fasting was a big deal to them. It was an important part of their religion. But Jesus pointed out in this illustration about the bridegroom that fasting was actually supposed to be about him. It was supposed to be acknowledging a person's dependence on him. That's why you fast. That's why you go hungry. It's supposed to point you to your dependence on him. He was the destination of the spiritual discipline of fasting. And therefore, it didn't make any sense for his disciples to fast while he was right there with him. So again, the Pharisees were so focused on the journey that they completely missed what fasting was all about, what that the spiritual discipline was all about. And again, it turned into an empty, legalistic practice that totally missed sight of the destination, and it was just going through the motions, and that's where it ended. And they were bothered again. Keeps happening. The fourth story is at the beginning of Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him? And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" And so they're upset now that he and his disciples were violating the Sabbath regulations. But the Sabbath was given for a purpose. It was to point people to God, given by God to point people to him. It was to be a day of rest so that people could draw near to God in worship. They could be blessed by God. It was a day of blessing, and they could remember God in rest and remember that all the work they did and the product of that was actually a gift from God and that they needed him. That was what the Sabbath was for. And God didn't want people to suffer and go hungry just because of following some legalistic Sabbath regulations. Yes, he wanted them to obey the Sabbath so that it would draw people near to him. But in the case of David and in the case of Jesus and his disciples, if you're suffering from hunger on the Sabbath, it's okay to eat. It's supposed to be a day of blessing to point you to God. The Pharisees completely missed that. Focused on the journey, not the destination. The last story is now verses 6 through 11. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees, and I think this story just points it out so clearly, the scribes and Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath. It's like, what? So that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, and I love this one, because he knows what they're thinking. He says, "Come here. Come and stand here." And he rose and stood there, and Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it. And after looking around at them all, he said to him, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Okay, they totally missed the point. Were they religious? Oh, yeah. Did they know what that was supposed to be about? Not at all. Very similar story to the last one. They missed the whole point. They were enraged that he healed a man on the Sabbath rather than obeying the rules. But Jesus pointed out that God's will in the Sabbath was to do good and bless his people, and to not heal that man who was suffering would be evil, and totally miss the point of the Sabbath. And so you can see in every one of these stories, is what I kind of picked up on this week, is the scribes and Pharisees were so focused on the journey that they completely lost sight of the destination. And it was all about those religious practices and following the rules and doing the steps, and it wasn't about the heart of the religion. It wasn't about Christ. And so they fulfilled that slogan really well. Focus on the journey, not the destination. They fulfilled that very well, but when it comes to religion, that's not the thing to do. It's a dangerous trap of legalism that many people fall into that ends up removing the very heart and the purpose of the religion that we've been given. You know, sometimes, especially I think in evangelical churches, you'll hear people badmouth religion, that it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And it's like, well, it is a religion, but religion isn't a bad thing. What religion is supposed to do, and the religious practices, which we have a lot of religious practices, which is why we're here this morning, it's a religious practice. But if it ends in the religion, that's where the problem is. If it ends in the journey, that's the problem. It needs to go to the destination. It needs to go to Jesus. Christianity is all about the destination, and the journey is all about getting you to Jesus. Okay? Follow the steps, do the stuff, but for the purpose of getting near to Jesus. If you focus on the journey and you forget about the destination, all you end up with is empty legalism, even in an evangelical church. And that becomes, as we've seen today, it becomes a deterrent to Christ, both in your life, and it can become a deterrent to Christ in the lives of others if they aren't following the rules like they're supposed to. There are a lot of important things that we do that are part of Christian practices. So going to church is important, and giving tithes and offerings, and reading the Bible, and fasting, and prayer. These are all important, but they're only important because they draw us near to Christ to help us know him and become like him. That's their goal, and that's what gives them meaning and purpose. That's the design of religion. And if they become our only focus, we will totally miss the point. The journey is all about Jesus. And so I think what we need to do with our lives is examine our lives. Look at our religion, look at our Christianity and our religious practices, and ask ourselves, has it become all about the journey and the practices that we're doing? Or am I doing these things not to just check things off a list and feel good about myself that I'm a good Christian, but am I doing these things? Am I going to church today? Am I reading my Bible? Am I praying? Am I fasting? Am I doing these things so that I can reach the destination, which is communion with Jesus? It's closeness, it's nearness with him. Maybe you see, man, I've just been kind of going through the motions, and that's been the end. And I encourage you this morning to actually repent of that. Sometimes we need to repent of just going through religious practices if that's all it's been about. Those practices are important, but only if they lead us to the destination. And so let us as a church do the religious things well, which means we need to use them to connect with Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these stories today. Thank you for the contrast that we see between the religious leaders who had completely missed the point and Jesus who was trying to help them and the people to see. And I pray that we would see this morning, that we would be aware, that we would not become legalists, that we would see the heart of the commands, the laws, the instructions that have been given. We would see your heart and your desire for us to draw near to you. And I pray that we would pursue spiritual disciplines and practices so that we can draw near to you and enjoy your presence and become more like you. So I pray that you would empower us as a church family to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.